Good morning, Bridge City Church. What an awesome privilege and what an honor it is to be your lead pastor. Listen, if you've been here over the last decades, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness. And listen, if you're here like maybe for the last 5-10 years, man, you're fully in the culture, you're growing, and you're growing to your full potential. And listen, if you're new here, hey, if you're new, we believe that, in a big welcome home to you, we believe you found your people, you found your tribe, you found the place that you're going to grow in your faith, your full potential. That's what we are all about. We call this a faith walk. That's right, it's a walk of faith. How many of you out there would like to be pleasing to God and grow in your faith? Here we go. I'm going to launch this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. That's right. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. That's right. So if we want to be a people of faith, listen, it's going to take a stretch. You see, God normally calls us one level beyond what we could do on our own. That's why they call it faith. That's right. In a Bridge City Church, average, good enough, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, will never be said here, because we're on a journey. God is calling us forward, and He's calling us forward to have the mentality to finish strong. That's right. Finish strong. Here we are at the halfway point of what we called our One Vision campaign. What began as a 36-month generosity initiative, what that is that 207 households committed to give over and above their regular giving, their regular tithes and offerings. And they made big faith-filled commitments here. And here we are at the halfway point. So we believe in accountability to God, and we believe in giving a report to the people. So that's what we're doing today. So what started as a 36-month generosity initiative is now an 18-month generosity initiative. That's right. And we want to encourage you to finish strong, but yet also invite those who haven't had the opportunity to participate to participate, because we believe God is up to something really, really good here at Bridge City Church. So you ready for the big idea? Here it is. Here it is. Bridge City Church will finish strong and obtain the promises of God when we together with one heart survey the promises of God, see the difficulties, but yet we still step forward in faith. Faith, that's what today is all about. Faith does not deny that there's a difficulty. It declares the power of God. That's what it does, based on the promises of God, even in the face of difficulties and problems. That's what faith really, really is. And because we at Bridge City Church have a great hope for tomorrow, then that's going to require a faith for today. And that's what we're all about building. So I want to take you to Numbers chapter 13 in the Old Testament. God's people, the Israelites, were being led by a man named Moses. Millions of people were being taken from Egypt, a place of captivity, a place of slavery and bondage, that God released them, but they were in the process of going in and stepping in to the promises of God. It was a faith journey. Now, what should have only taken days turned out to be years. And we're going to find that out. And we're going to find out why here today. Listen, because it's a faith journey. So God has promises for you and me. As a matter of fact, He has placed intrinsically in each and every one of us a desire to make a big difference and leave a legacy. And that's what our faith is really all about. So Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord now said to Moses. Who said to Moses? The Lord. Send out men to explore the land that I am giving to you. Who's giving it to you? To them? God was giving. So send 12 men, one from every ancestral tribe to represent. And so there were 12 men that Moses was going to send in. So Moses gave them these instructions. Here's the instructions on what you're to do. See what the land is like. God has already promised. As a matter of fact, it's referred to as the promised land. So God said he was doing something, so go see what it's like. Okay, good. What kind of people are there? Few or many? Strong, weak? What kind of land is it? Is it good or bad? Does it have walls? Does it have camps? Is it hills and valleys? What kind of soil's there? What kind of trees are there? Listen, and then can you bring back some produce? Can you bring back an example of what the land has? That's what they were supposed to do here. I want to let you know that at Bridge City Church, our pastors, our elders, our leaders, representatives from all of our campuses have surveyed the land, and we see good things ahead. That's right. We see that in Murraysville, in White Oak, that listen, we need our own space. We need land. We need a building. That's what we're sacrificing, and that's what we're giving towards. Listen, at Brighton Heights and North Braddock, we have facilities that we need to update so that we can say and scream forward that we believe in generations. As a matter of fact, we have a generational mindset at Bridge City Church. 2 Timothy 2:2, take these things that you've been received and give them to trustworthy people so that they can give them on to others. We believe in generations. We believe that our best days are yet ahead. So if we believe that, it needs to show up on our calendar and with our cash. That screams our values. So that what we're going to do is with our calendar, we're going to set it. And with our money, we're going to give towards it. We're going to invest in generations. And we're going to invest in changed lives. We have surveyed God's promises. As a matter of fact, we have continued to grow at a rate of 10%. Here at Bridge City Church, we're seeing an increase of people that have crossed the bridge. That's right, who have made Jesus the forgiver of their past and the leader to their future. That's what we're giving to. What a cause to give to. That is just so awesome. You see, we have seen, we have surveyed the promises of God. So let's look now as we go through here to Numbers 13, and let's look at their report in verse 27. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land which you sent us to explore. About 40 days it took for them to explore that. 40 is a number typically used in the Bible to represent trials, a time of testing. Therefore, so they went into the land and they said, it's a bountiful country. Wow, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's what it produces. And they brought back great big produce and it was huge. But the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and fortified. You see, what happened was the difficulties began to capture them. They were only supposed to go in and survey the land, but they saw difficulties. We at Bridge City Church see difficulties that we have. We're not afraid to say that there's difficulties and problems. But they saw them, and the difficulties began to capture them. You see, faith sees the problem. But that's why we need faith. That's why we say that we need faith here. Listen, we could easily say we don't have enough people. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of that. Why don't we just stay small? Why don't we just stay comfortable? Why don't we stay complacent? No, may those things never be said of us. See, the problem was in their report, they only made reference of the difficulties. There was no reference of God. When we see the difficulties, let's make sure that we reference God. You see, the 10 of the spies saw themselves on a mission for Moses. 2 of them saw that they were on a mission from God. Are we on a mission for the church or are we on a mission from God? That's the question. So now there was a call to faith. Caleb, one of the leaders that went in from the tribe of Judah, went in, surveyed the promises, saw the difficulties. What did he do? He tried to quiet the people, but he said, let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. We can. As a matter of fact, all across all of our campuses right now, I want you to say that out loud. We can. We can. That's right, we can. We are able. We have the power. We have the capacity to prevail and succeed. It's let go. In my vernacular, it is like, come on, we can do this. Come on. That's what faith says. You see, that's what Caleb was speaking here. And he and Joshua were the two of the 12 that were saying, we can do this. There's always going to be a step of faith that sees beyond the difficulties, that has surveyed the promises of God. That's what we give towards. That's what we invest our lives to. That's what why we serve. That's why we give. That's why we do what we do here. But in verse 31, this is what happened here. The other men. In that list of the 12 men that went in to survey and explore the land, two of them, typically, we remember their names, Joshua and Caleb. To be honest, the other 10, I can't remember one of their names off the top of my head. I have to always go back to Numbers 13 to see who they were. Do we want to be listed with the Joshua and Calebs, or do we want to be the other men? Wow. They've explored the land, but they disagreed. They said, we can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. And they spread a bad report amongst the people. Let's never have a bad report. Let's have a God report. Listen, this is what they began to say. We traveled. It's going to devour us. Oh my goodness. And all the people we saw that were huge. It went to a few giants to now everybody's huge. Oh, we can never do this. Oh, this is huge. We'll never. That's a bad report. May we not have a bad report, but a faith report. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. The spirit of a grasshopper. Are we going to have the spirit of faith or the spirit of a grasshopper? Listen, may this be applied to our whole entire church right now as we are believing God. We are being specific in what we pray for. We are taking bold steps of faith and bold initiatives, not only financially, but to see more people trained up, see more people released from their past and the bondage to experience the promises of God here. That's what we're doing. May we be listed with them. So if we're going to finish strong over the next 18 months, but I'm going to tell you, that's not the finish line. We have a finish line that we're going to stand before God and give an account. That's the real finish line. But we're going to finish what God has given us to start 18 months ago. In the next 18 months, we're going to finish strong. You see, listen, this is it. 10 of the spies compared themselves with the giants and with the difficulties. But listen, two of them compared the giants with God. And I know that in your life right now, there's difficulties, there's problems, there's obstacles. But we're not going to compare you to the obstacle. We're going to compare that obstacle with God, with a God-sized vision here. Finishing strong. That's what we're going to do. We at Bridge City Church, we believe we have surveyed the promises of God and they're yes and amen. And we can accomplish this. Listen, we have a future and we have a promise that we together are going to stand up for. Natalie and I, this is what we did 18 months ago. We asked those three revealing questions. We started with, what do we have? What can we give? And then we asked the question, what can we give up? But then the third one, this is the big question, what can we believe God for? And so that we gave first. Why am I saying that? Because Natalie and I, along with all of our leaders, are not going to ask you to do something that we haven't done. What do we have? And we've given up some things. Natalie and I said there's some certain house projects we're not going to do over the next several years because we want to invest in the kingdom of God. And then we said, what can we believe God for? And so over and above our regular giving, our regular tithes and offerings, it has been a joy to give. And we've seen an increase in our finances. We've increased what we have been able to invest in our future, and we've seen a blessing on it. We've been experiencing so many of the promises of God in our lives. That's our story. And I know that there are so many more stories out there. Those are the three questions that we're going to be asking each and every one of you to answer over the next week or so here. So this is it. What does faith do? This is it. Faith surveys and investigates the promises of God. That's where it starts, on the promises, on the word of God. Next, it sees the problems. Oh, it acknowledges the problems. But to be honest, we don't have financial problems. We have faith problems. We have accountability problems. That's really it. But you know what faith does? It steps forward and declares the power of God in the face of problems. That is faith. And we are in a season where God is speaking faith to us here at Bridge City Church. As a matter of fact, all summer long, we're going to be going through the book of Joshua and see the Israelites, their walk of faith into the promised land. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to help you in your walk of faith. And we're going to do this together. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your love and support. At this time, somebody from your campus is going to stand up and give a report of where we are with the One Vision campaign and give you an opportunity to boldly and proudly step in and be a part of what God's doing here at Bridge City Church.
Amen. For those of you who I haven't had the privilege of introducing myself to, I'm Pastor Eric, and that was our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, who's currently at our North Braddock campus. And as I mentioned, we are one church, four locations. Really glad we all got to hear the same message from our lead pastor. I'm going to give some more details, specifics, and updating on the One Vision campaign, and also things that we've been able to do so far and where we're headed in the future as well. So the ushers have a sheet they're going to hand out with some of the numbers and things we're going to go over. So ushers, if you can make your way and pass those out, make sure everyone gets one. But as you get it, try really, really hard not to look at it. There's some other things we're going to cover. Then we're going to go through this sheet together. I know I give you something, tell you not to take it. But take it, but just don't read it yet. We will get to all of it. Don't worry. You will get to see everything on there. But you know, one of the things from the message that Pastor Rick shared, Numbers 13, when you get into chapter 14, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, who were giving a good report, a God report, the people were talking about stoning them. They were trying to kill them, saying, no, you're crazy, we can't do this. And the cool thing was, the Joshua and Caleb were just doing what God already said he was going to do. He promised them this land. He said, this is the promised land. This is the land that's flowing with milk and honey. God already told them that this was the land. They were just going and scoping it out, probably how do we go about it? And yet two of the guys came back and just stood on what God said he was already going to do. Hey guys, this is the promised land. This is flowing with milk and honey. This is like God told us it would be. Let's go take the land at once. And the people were like, what are you guys talking? They were going to stone them. And the other 10 were looking through a different lens. They were looking through what I would call a negative lens or a no lens, a can't-do attitude, where Joshua and Caleb had a can-do spirit. They had a yes spirit. We're trying to train our 18-month right now to say yes more than no. It's just no comes more naturally to people. But you say yes, 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 and he'll just go no, no, no. But anyway, I'm like, that's so much of the time us, right? When God's like, I'm giving you something to do. I've given you a promise. I'm pointing you to go. And we go, no, 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 God. And instead saying yes, Lord, before he even speaks. Saying yes, God, whatever you say, we're going to say yes to it. Maybe it's to go on a mission trip. Maybe it's to give financially. Maybe it's to reach out to somebody, to love your neighbor, to pray for somebody. Whatever that thing is that God is saying, let's be people who say yes even before he speaks it. Right? So two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes. They said, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Some of the text isn't on the screen. It talks about how the people who all complained, God says, fine, you don't get to go into the land. But Joshua and Caleb still do. Joshua, he saved Joshua and Caleb to go to the land, but none of the other people got to. He delayed them for a generation. There's a reason that God puts us in the Word of God, and he wants us to see things through eyes of faith, through what does the Word of God say. And in everything we do, every decision we make, every step, every week of our life, seeing through eyes of faith, what does God say first and foremost? And then let's have eyes of faith as we say yes to him and step forward into all the great things God's doing. You realize God, his heart is for his church, for his people, the yous and eyes and all of us, that his heart is for us. He wants to help us and give us. He doesn't withhold. He gives freely. And it's for us to be able to then give it away to others and to draw people closer to him. So some awesome numbers we want to celebrate is so far this year, from January 1st to now, we've had 71 salvations at all four campuses. 71 people. It's not about the number, but every one of those numbers, there's a name that we have. We have phone numbers, address. We're following up with these people. We're caring for them, helping them understand how they can take their next steps. And we celebrate when people cross the bridge. It was our terminology for a salvation. They cross the bridge to life. They begin a relationship with Jesus, and they're set free from their past. They're set free from we help them understand what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Out of those 70, not just out of those 71, 71 salvations this year, 24 people have been water baptized so far this year. That's the time to something to celebrate. We're celebrating, and many, many more of those people we know are going to be baptized. We're having baptisms coming up in August at our outdoor worship time, so plan to be there August 6th as we celebrate and worship God outside. But again, these numbers are nice, but really it's about the people. It's about the lives being changed and transformed, and all what we could get to do together is so much better than what any one of us can do on our own. You realize there's four locations. We celebrate the 15 people baptized at White Oak. We celebrate the salvations at each campus because we're in this together for one glorious hope for the future. As we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. You realize, as individuals, and I think American, we're very individualistic, that we think about my retirement or my future, my plans, or my... Instead, God's like calling us to be together and see what is the one glorious hope for for our future that God is calling us to. Now, you have your own plans, your own budget, your own vacations. I'm not saying we all take a family vacation together. But the idea is there's a one glorious hope for the future. It's a church-wide thing. It's a all of God's people thing to point to and realize we serve one God. We're to be one body, one Spirit. That's why we don't compete with other churches. That's why we don't compete with other people. We just say, we're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to help other churches, compliment other churches. Anybody preaching Jesus, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, we support them and cheer them on. We celebrate when people get connected to the body of Christ because together, we're better together for our one glorious hope that we share as a body. So now you can look. Drum roll. I feel like we need a drum roll. Now, this is the one vision, what we call one sheet, given some numbers. And I want to start by everything I shared today with numbers or finances or anything like that. We encourage and invite you to ask questions. That goes for any time. Ask questions if you want to know more, you want to find out where money's being spent or how it's being spent. And again, this is not a typical Sunday. This is only because we're 18 months into our three-year commitment. Typically, you'd have me preaching a more traditional message. But this is something we're highlighting today because we want to let you know, celebrate what God has done, but then point to what is God doing, where we get to be a part in the coming months and years ahead. But 18 months ago, we had a three-year campaign goal of $1.5 million. That's above and beyond our regular tithes and offering. So our regular budgeted amount, we didn't want to change that. We said we're believing for increase there. But this is an addition to that. So our regular operating expenses and budget doesn't get used for anything in our One Vision campaign. So $1.5 million, we had our One Vision night and all the commitments came in. There was $1.825 million was total committed. So far in the 18 months, we've received $757,274 as of May 2nd. So 41% of the total committed has been received so far, and that was a total of 207 households committed, not just individuals, households of people that made a commitment. Like my wife and I, we had one commitment as a family that we gave. And so actually the average committed number was $8,800 over the course of 3 years, just to help you understand what people were willing and able to commit. And the next section there, that red bar, it shows the percentages of where people are at. And we're not going to put anybody's name up on the screen, but there's 8% of the people of the commitments have been completed. 8% have been fully committed, paid for already. 47% are on schedule. That means they're halfway or ahead of their commitment. 22% are behind schedule. 18% made a commitment but haven't given. And 5% are no longer attending. And out of those 5% of the 207, I know of three personally that have died and are with Jesus now. They've passed away. So that's part of that number of why people are no longer attending. They're not going to fulfill their commitment, but they we're releasing them. They're worshiping Jesus now for eternity, so that we're not going to go after them. But the other people, no, we want to encourage you. We want to say, first off, being very sincere, thank you for all of you who have completed yours and are on schedule and made those commitments. And if you're behind or haven't started yet, it's okay. Be released from the pressure, from any condemnation, from any guilt. Be released from that, because that's not God's heart for you. But ask God what he wants you to do from this day moving forward. You got 18 months. Maybe you haven't started. And you can say, from this day forward, I'm going to honor the rest of that commitment. And whatever that is for you, we just want to encourage you and invite you to start somewhere and fulfill part of that commitment if you can. And for everyone else who is maybe newer to the church in the last 18 months, we invite you to be a part. We're going to give you some understanding details of how to do that as well. So we are a church that loves missions. We are on mission. We have mission trips, mission teams. We believe in missions wholeheartedly. And on the back of this sheet, at the top, there's a missions update. We decided 18 months ago that every year out of the one campaign money, we were going to give a minimum of $100,000 each year for the next 3 years. We said we're going to do this, and we give way more than $100,000, but specifically designating $100,000 out of the one vision to go to missions. And you can see the list of where all that money went in 2022. $100,000 was given to between the school in Liberia, the school in Kenya, Sydney and Musu Thomas, who we've had a long-standing relationship with, doing an amazing, amazing work in Liberia, a 99% Muslim area, reaching people, changing the generations for Jesus in this region on such a tight budget. And Ukraine, $40,000. We didn't just give that through some random organization or send it on the internet. We gave that to a network that we're personally a part of, the Network of Related Pastors. Our founding pastor as well, he personally took a lot of those funds over to Ukraine, was on the ground. He's been there at least twice, leading people, leading a mission trip, medical teams, providing aid, food, water, generators through the winter to give people heat, doing amazing, amazing work with that finance. So we sent $40,000. Again, everything we share and everything why we share this is so you have confidence in what you're giving to. You know, I'm very want to know where my money's going, and I know the people personally, and some of them I know through others. But we don't just give through random organizations. We give to churches, we give to people we know and trust. The $8,500 to Guatemala, that's for Wesley and Katie Sanchez, who I know personally. Katie grew up in the church here, was good friends with my wife, and she moved there, married her husband, and they have 4 going on 5 kids now. So, you know, these are people, we're going to be with them in a few weeks in Guatemala. So the people that we're giving to, we trust, we know, but $100,000, and we give above and beyond that to other ministries and other places as well. 2023, so far this year, you see $26,045 was given to the school in Liberia, continuing their education, their earthquake relief in Turkey, and to Sydney and Musu Thomas as well in Liberia. And we're going to give away the other $74,000+ there this year, as well as looking to another $100,000 next year. Now, why we share this for the missions update is you may have a heart for missions, and you want to give to missions. I do, too. I give to missions. My heart's for the missions. I give to the One Vision campaign because that's how we give to missions. So if you have a heart for missions, you say, I want to give to missions. I believe in this. give to the One Vision campaign, because that's how we pay out our missions each and every year. That's how we pay that. You can give it to missions, but we encourage you to give to the One Vision campaign when you write a check, when you give, to mark that as one campaign so that it all gets designated correctly. In addition to the missions money that comes out of the One Vision Fund, we are updating and looking to purchase for all four locations. The money is split for some. You see some of the updates we're going to hear. Have your Brighton Heights, North Braddock, are buildings we own. We own them outright. We are renovating, updating, keeping them, making them better. For White Oak and here at Murraysville, we're looking to purchase land or a building to renovate to move our into a more permanent home. Now, we'll go through Brighton Heights and North Braddock first, and then we can get to White Oak and Murraysville. So Brighton Heights, just to give you an update, there was the stage was renovated. It was cut back. Their stage was actually very large, had stairs that went across the whole front. We actually were able to add several rows of seats to make room for more people in that building. I was personally there cutting and building that stage, so I know the amount of work that went into it, the amount of people in the church that were serving, were giving of their time. Brand new carpet, all new paint, did plaster work, updated the space. They do have new chairs coming. They got delayed a few months, but they're on their way. And redid the entryway and back hallway. That's a significant amount of work done for $38,000. If any of you have ever renovated your house, especially recently, you know how much things cost. But we got a significant amount of work and improvements done because we want to be good stewards of what God has given us. Just because we have $757,000 in the budget doesn't mean we just go spend that frivolously. We're being very good stewards, being very wise of how and when we renovate, getting quotes from contractors, doing a lot of the work in-house with people within the church that are willing to give their time. With North Braddock, there is, so far with the one campaign money, we've been able to redo the entry to the school. The ground outside was paver stones that were always flexing and heaving in the winter, would keep the door from even opening sometimes, and it wasn't good. It was a tripping hazard, so we redid all the pavers with brand new concrete, beautiful stamped concrete and steps there. Also put an awning above that ramp, and actually only half of that's done right now. We paid for the rest. There's another part of the awning that's going to go down over the rest of that ramp here soon that's going to be getting done, but that's the money that we use so far from the one campaign. A lot of the upkeep, the maintenance, the ground, that's our regular budgeted money. The One Vision is meant to be for specific renovations that we said we were going to do 18 months ago. Just to give you an idea, 18 months ago, we said we were going to do certain projects and renovations. That's all we're using that money for, specifically at those two campuses. Now, White Oak and Murraysville, we rent our space. If you weren't aware, we rent this from Mike Tedesco. He's a great, great landlord. He's been a great man of giving us things and being generous with us. He wants us to stay, but he knows as we grow, more people are coming, more families are coming. As we grow, we're outgrowing our space, which is a great problem to have. Right, we launched a second worship experience, as you're all here the second time, to know we had to make room for more people. And in the parking lot, it gets filled up, and making room for seating and children. And we want to make room for more to keep coming and hearing about Jesus. That's why we said we're going to go to two. That's why we're going to continue to improve our space. Here in Murraysville, we renovated the back hallway and the whole space, about 2,000 square feet, for new kids' rooms, or a whole new kids' wing. New women's restroom, as you've been able to enjoy, and we put in a new student room back on this hallway. We took out a wall and made a space specifically for Bridge City students. Those are things that we're doing out of our normal budgeted money. We're not using one campaign money, but letting you know how we're using funds. We're planning on doing a cafe and a kitchen as well in the middle of the building back here. The plans are in the process for that to begin work. And that's stuff that we're doing because we're stewarding God's money well. We're keeping things tight. I'm very frugal, but I'm not cheap. We're going to do things with excellence. We're going to do things well. But we're doing a lot of the work in-house. We're not hiring out a lot of contractors, a lot of other people. We're able to do a lot in-house to keep costs down and to really just be good stewards of finance. But we are looking, with the one campaign money, to potentially purchase land and build something or buy a building. I've been looking for years, working with different people in the community, looking for the right building. We've had opportunities come up, just didn't believe God was leading us in that direction, didn't believe God was saying yes to it, or it just really wasn't a wise financial decision. If any of you know real estate right now, especially commercial, you're in the millions, plural, and up, so we didn't think that was a wise choice to make right now. However, we are preparing and plan. Believe what God has said to do is start raising money now so that when something comes available, an opportunity comes up, and God says, go buy this, we actually can move quickly to buy that. Instead of God saying, here, I want you to move here, and we say, okay, God, well, give us a couple years, we'll raise some money, and then we'll be able to buy it. Right? Our part in being good stewards is saying, let's raise money now, let's get ahead of it, we hear God, he says, get ready, prepare, do our part, and we know in time God's going to speak and give us direction to what building to buy or how to move forward, specifically with a location, and we can move forward quickly in obedience to God if we've done the part we've done on our part, on our side. So hopefully that helps you understand what we're doing. Until that happens, we're making the best of this space. We're still here. We're going to keep being at two services until we fill both services, and we'll launch a third one if God should lead us to do that. And I'm always saying we're going to stay at two worship experiences until we get to three or four or five and do whatever we have to make room for people, because this isn't about the building. Guys, One Vision campaign, all this, everything we're talking about, it's not about buildings. It really isn't about new concrete. It's not about a facility. It's really about people. The people, those 71 people that crossed the bridge this year so far, the people who've been saved in each and every campuses, each and everywhere, we're praying for a person to be saved in each and every campus every single week. Why not? God is bigger and mightier, and his word is more powerful than anything that we face out there. Why not have people come and experience the true freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? It's not about buildings. It's not about dollars and cents. It's not about 1.5 or 1.8 million. It truly is about people. People's lives being changed and transformed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you get to be a part of that. When you give, when you serve, when you come on Sundays, when you invite your friends and family and neighbors, that's what you get to be a part of. Winning people for Jesus. You know, my wife and I, Rachel, I know Pastor Rick shared with him and Natalie how they processed, and went through with our one commitment, and it came at the time when we were doing this 18 months ago, and Rachel and I kind of felt like God was leading us towards a number, a set amount, and we said, okay, we can make some changes, make some sacrifice, cut back on, don't buy coffee out anymore, you know, maybe cut a dessert. We could do that, and then I felt like God said, I want you to double that. We're like, wait. I felt like Judah right now. Like, no. But I was like, okay, yes, God. I'm going to say yes to you first. Yes. So we said yes to that. And then it got to like the week of making our commitment, turning our cards in. And we both felt like, we looked at each other. I remember looking at each other. We're like, I think God's telling us to go up another level, to increase it again. So actually three times what we started with got to where we ended up making our commitment, which is a significant commitment. And we said, but we don't have that. And it's like, that's the point. It's faith. It's faith to believe God over the next 3 years that he's going to continue not just to provide for our bills, but to give us increase, to believe for more. And this isn't prosperity gospel. This isn't speaking into existence. This is saying, God, what are you telling me to do? What would you have me give? How can I make some changes and sacrifices? And then I want to step in obedience to whatever you're saying. So I don't give you numbers. I'm trying to help you. Like, you have to pray and ask God. If you're married, you and your spouse have to talk together. You have to pray together and say, God, what would you have us do? And then say yes to whatever he says. And we want to help you have courage to say yes, but the grace comes from God. He's got to help you give and follow through on your commitment. Maybe you haven't been, and you say, I want to start now. I want to get to be a part of lives being changed and transformed for more people to come and experience what I get to experience. Not focusing on what we don't have or can't do, but really focusing on what God can do. You know, I love how Pastor Rick mentioned that. The 10 spies, they compared themselves to the giants. That they were like grasshoppers. They had a grasshopper spirit, right? A lot of times, that's what we see our problems. We see our obstacles. We see challenges as so big. God, I don't know how I could do this. And the reality is they are big. They can be significant things. But when we compare our problems to how big God is, they're so small. They're so small. The challenges, whatever deficit you have, whatever debt you have, whatever things you may have, they're small in comparison to how big God really is. And that goes for anything, not just finances, but in life, in relationships, with your health. Those problems you face are big, but compared to God, they're really small. Let's keep that perspective and know God can do what only He can do. He can make our problems and our challenges so small if we keep the right perspective. Amen? Well, we have a short video. It's about 3 minutes long. A couple right here in the front row, Jared and Mary, here at our Murraysville campus. This video is going to be shown at all 4 campuses. Them sharing their story, their experience of the One campaign over the last 18 months and what they've gotten to experience. So let's take a look.
My name is Mary.
My name is Jared.
And we've been attending Bridge City for...
pretty close to 6 years now. We're coming up on it.
Yes. We met at the church.
Yeah, we got married June 5th, 2021.
Yes.
At the Murraysville campus.
So when the One campaign started, I still had like 6 months left of college. And I had $30,000 in student loan debt, which we hadn't started paying off.
And we're thinking like not only with the debt we have, how much we have in the bank currently, but even future goals. Like, okay, we want to buy a house. We want to be able to do these things and kind of, you know, provide for a family. So these questions that we wrestle with and the tension we wrestle with, just preparing our hearts to say, God, what do you want us to give?
I was taking a finance class in college at that time, and it hit me, the amount we made this year, we could give this amount of money. Mm-hmm. And then I budgeted out and I was like, well, if we make this much next year, then we can give this much to the One campaign. But we have to like believe in faith for that because we might be struggling a little bit.
And so we both prayed about it and kind of came together and was like, all right, are you sensing this? Yeah, I'm sensing this is good. Like, we're good to go. I'm like, all right, let's just see what happens.
And then once we gave to the campaign, it was, I think, like that month or the next month, we kind of started seeing just an increase in finances. So where Jared works, he makes salary but can make commission. There's like a bonus structure. And he hadn't bonused a whole lot, but shortly after we started giving, it was like these bonuses just kind of started coming in, and sometimes like multiple weeks in a row. So it was not only a few months after that we paid all our debt off. By the time I graduated college, I was debt free.
It hit probably like 3 to 4 months in of just seeing this increase of like, you know, this wasn't the case until we started like giving through the One Vision campaign. It was just so like not logical, you know what I mean? Like, it was just not intuitive just to my natural, what I would naturally plan out. And so like to go to take that step of faith and begin to see shortly after like all of just the financial provision pour in by the grace of God, it was just unnatural, not usual provision that we weren't seeing prior.
God is so faithful. And when we come to Him in our faith, like, He really wants to love on His kids. He's a good, good father. He doesn't want to withhold from His kids. And it's, you don't give to get something back. It's not about that, but it's just about trusting that when you're sowing into the kingdom, like, that is the absolute best place for your money to be. And so if you're sowing into the kingdom, like, He's going to give it back and just and pour it out for you. So when you're giving to the One Vision campaign, your heart is committed to the mission to see as many people as possible become fully devoted followers of Jesus, right? Like, your heart gets put into that, and that's a joy. There's a great joy there, and a great feeling of community to know that you're a part of that.